The Church, in her wisdom, sets out weekly readings from the Gospels. These readings allow us to follow the life and teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ and the story of our salvation. Upper Room Media presents to you the weekly Sunday homily, delivered from Sydney, Australia.
In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Over the last 20 years, we've witnessed in our society and in our culture some major shifts that have taken place, and mostly brought about by the introduction of technology and the information age and the internet. But I think one of the major shifts that we've seen in our society and culture is the culture of instant gratification. That everything has become instantaneous. If you think about your daily life, everything is instant. If I want to communicate, it's instant message. It's no longer required that you write a letter and wait. Information is at your fingertip. You type something in Google and you have the response instantly. If you want to go shopping, you don't no longer have to drive and park your car and get out and find a shop. You can shop online and instantly it can be delivered to you. And in fact, in many cases, you can have same-day delivery if you pay a little bit extra. If you want to watch some entertainment, you no longer have to go to the cinema or go to a store to hire a movie or wait for your favorite show to come. Everything is instant. Netflix is available. YouTube is available. Instantly, what you want is available. If you need some transport, you no longer have to wait. You have Uber. And in an instant, you know where the car is and it will be in your place within minutes. In fact, the average wait time for Uber in Sydney is 3 minutes. And then for food, as Abun Augustinus reminds us, you want food, you have Uber Eats, Deliveroo. In an instant, any food you want is at your doorstep. The night before the fast, we wanted some chocolate waffles. And I ordered it on Uber Eats. The chocolate waffles arrived in 15 minutes. I don't know how that is even possible. How do you make it and deliver it within 15 minutes? Everything is instantaneous. We expect instant response from our technology. If our phone is delayed, we get frustrated. If our internet speed is down, everything will break down. I need instant response. Everything is a click away. The number one complaint we hear at church here at St. Mark's is the line for the kofta sandwich is too long. Everything needs to be instantaneous. Have you ever wondered how this instant gratification and this culture that we live in has affected our spiritual lives? And does it have impact upon our spiritual lives? And I believe it has impacted our spiritual lives significantly in a very negative way. I ask God for something. Nothing happened. There was no answer. I prayed, but I didn't feel anything. I confessed, but I still sin. I asked for blessing, but blessing didn't come. There's the instant expectation that something will happen when I ask, and it will happen immediately. Blessing, I get cursed. We had a youth in our church a few years ago who bought a new convertible car. And he brought it to church and he said, "Abuna, can you pray on my car?" So I said, "No worries," prayed in his car. 2 days later, he comes back and goes, "Abuna, your prayer didn't work." I said, "What happened?" He said, "I had an accident, the car's a write-off." I said, "Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I'm really sorry to hear that." And I started feeling bad about myself that my prayer caused a guy to write off his car. Yeah, I saved his life. And then I said, "So what happened? How did it happen?" He said, "Oh, I was racing on the M5. Okay, racing on the M5 makes prayer void. It cancels out the blessing, but it doesn't cover that. It's not in the contract. And so when we don't get what we expect or what we want, we're left with spiritual disappointment. I'm disappointed in God. I begin to feel anxious. I'm frustrated. And in cases we can lose our faith. I'm praying and he's not doing what I want. He's not giving me what I need. And I begin to lose my faith. It seems that our culture has created in us a hurry to expect everything instant when God is not necessarily in a hurry. We're seeing today's gospel, actually, the introduction of the first chapter of St. Luke, where Luke introduces us to the first characters of Zacharias and Elizabeth. And we heard the story that they were barren, and Zacharias goes into the temple and an angel appears to him and says, "You'll give birth to John the Baptist." But there's one aspect of this story that St. Luke highlights, and I think he's drilling on this point of patience. Look at how he describes Zacharias and Elizabeth. "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth." And here's their description. "And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren and they were well advanced in years." So he describes Zacharias and Elizabeth as righteous and blameless, walking in the ordinances of God, but they had no child. They kept their righteousness despite having no child, despite being barren. And the story goes on and we see the beautiful ending. But I think what's important is to stop at this point, first of all, to see that Zacharias and Elizabeth maintained their loyalty to God despite their prayers not being answered just yet. Despite at those times not having a child is the greatest shame, that you cannot continue your family. Despite the embarrassment that Zacharias is a holy man, a priest before God, and he still can't have a child. That's not even helping him out. Despite all of that, there's no frustration. There's no loss of faith. I continue in my daily walk with God, blameless, righteous, walking in the ordinances of God. And so we see in Zacharias and Elizabeth, there was no expectation of instant response. They were patient and waiting. This theme of patience has been on my mind this week about today's gospel reading. And the question of how do we get it? Do we ask God and he gives it to us? How do we have how do we escape this instant expectation and live in patience, not becoming frustrated with God, but rather continuing to be righteous and blameless? And while I was thinking about it this week, a young boy in high school came to confession. And I think he gave me the answer. He said to me, "Abuna, when we ask for a virtue from God, does God give us the virtue? Or does he give me the opportunity to practice that virtue?" And I thought, bingo, that's exactly how it works. I'm not going to say, "God, give me patience," and boom, you have patience. But I say, "God, give me patience," and he grants me the opportunity to practice patience, to refine my patience. In the Catholic reading of today, in James chapter 1, St. James says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfected and complete, lacking nothing." When you fall into trial, when there is a problem in your life, when my prayer is not being answered, then St. James says, count that as joy. Because the testing of your faith will produce patience. The opportunity that God has created for you in your current circumstances is the opportunity to practice and to refine your patience. When I was first ordained a priest, I was in church one day and a young man walked in who was new from Egypt and was here on a student visa. And I didn't know him, and he came to me just as I was a priest and said, "Father, I'm in a bit of a dilemma. I'm here on a student visa and I want to stay. And everyone these days is applying for a refugee visa. And so I want to apply for a refugee visa. But the problem is, I don't really have a case that happened. Nothing's happened to me in Egypt to submit a refugee visa application for." And everyone is telling me, "Well, you have to make up a story. Say you're at risk, you're someone's going to kill you, and you have to leave, and that's how you do it." But I can't lie. So I'm just going to write on my application, "Life is hard in Egypt, and I like Australia." I said, "You know, that's really honest and good, but I don't think it's going to work." "Is you telling me to lie, Buna?" I go, no, I'm not telling you to lie. "But I just don't think that will particularly work." He says, "But wouldn't God reward me and bless me for my honesty?" I said, "I'd like to think so. I'm a new priest, I don't know. I don't have that much faith just yet." He said, "Well, you know what, Buna? I would rather be sent back to Egypt and live my hard life there than lie on this application." I said, "Right, go for it. Do your honesty. But don't expect anything from it." And of course, he applies and he writes, "My life is hard in Egypt, and I want to live in Australia because it's a beautiful country." And he gets rejected. And I was, "Sir, I can't, God, come on, he was really honest. Why not, you know?" He got rejected. So he said, "I'm going to apply and appeal against the decision. I'm going to go to court with it." And I said, "Okay, what are you going to say?" He said, "I'm going to say that my life in Egypt is hard and I like Australia." "Okay, but it's not going to work." "He's telling me to lie." I go, "No, I'm not telling you to lie, but it's not going to work." He went off and he wrote the same thing. Of course, the court rejected his appeal. And then he said, "I'm going to apply for ministerial intervention." "Okay, what are you going to add?" "There's nothing." "Okay, you're going to get rejected." He applies to the ministerial intervention. And after a long wait, his solicitor called me and said, "Have you seen where he is? I've been trying to call him for a week and his phone is off." He actually has received an approval to stay in the country. I said, "No, I haven't seen him in a while. I'm trying to call him, his number's off for days." So I went on his Facebook page to see maybe I can figure out where he is on his Facebook page. And he had a selfie at the monastery. So, oh, he must be at the monastery. So I called the monks. I said, "Is this guy at the monastery?" They said, "Yeah, he's here." I said, "All right, tell him he got his approval to stay in the country." And while he was at the monastery praying for this situation, he receives the message, "You have been accepted to stay in the country." Very similar to Zacharias. After a long wait, while in the temple, while in prayer, he receives the message saying, "You will be granted a son." Why didn't God grant him the visa immediately after his honesty? Why did it go to the final stage? Because the testing of your faith produces patience. Another model of patience that we see in the Bible is Job. Job lost everything. He lost his family, his possessions, his livestock. He lost his health. He was sitting there in ashes, a mess. And his wife comes and says to him, "Job, you still, after all this, hold fast your integrity? Just curse God and die." Lovely wife, huh? Great support there. Wife, just curse Job, curse God and die. And you would think in Job's situation, "I've lost everything, lost my kids, lost my house, my possessions, my health." It would be warranted, perhaps, to say to God, "What are you doing?" What's Job's response? But Job said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. You're speaking as a fool. Curse God. You speak as a fool. We indeed accept good from God. Shall we not accept adversity?" In all of this, Job did not sin with his lips. And so I think in our spiritual lives, when we don't get what we want immediately, when we don't get our expectations immediately, we need to develop our patience. Never cursing God, but waiting and waiting in patience, day by day, living righteous and blameless before God, even if what I'm asking for has not yet been granted to me. A doctor was once asked by a patient who had a serious accident, "Doctor, how long will I have to be here in hospital?" The doctor responded, "Only one day at a time." One day at a time. We live day by day. Each day that's granted to me, I live righteous before God, blameless. We live in the moment, not anxious about the thing that I'm after and it needs to come immediately. The boy Tadros Malati was in Sydney once and Father Paul was interviewing him. It was before Father Paul was a priest, and Father Paul was interviewing him a set of questions. It was a very interesting interview. It's published online. And one of the questions that Father Paul asked Father Tadros Malati is, "What's the most memorable moment of your life?" So you'd expect, you know, Father Tadros to respond to that by saying, "My ordination day, my marriage day, a miracle that happened in his life." What's the most memorable moment of your life? Father Tadros Malati responded to Father Paul by saying, "The most memorable moment of my life is the present moment, is right now." And it wasn't an enthralling interview for this to be his most memorable moment of his life. But the present moment, the moment he was currently living, is the most memorable, because it's the only real moment. Not the worry about the future, or the waiting at what's going to come, or the regret of the past, but to live in the present moment, righteous before God, walking blameless. Let us wait on the Lord. Be patient with the Lord. Wait in His time for everything. And no matter what, I never lose my faith. I never curse God, but rather I continue to be loyal to Him. We conclude with the words of King David in Psalm 130. "I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. And in His word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning." Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. And glory be to God forever. Amen.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart. And we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.